Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Paul 23, back there with video. I just want to quickly do a sound check to make sure that the sound is working. I don't know why I'm not getting the notification. There we go. Okay, so why does the internet suck? Makes no sense. Just all of a sudden, it's not working all of a sudden. Really? Is this ridiculous? Okay, so the sound is working. If this video ever cuts out, I won't be able to tell because for some reason my phone isn't connecting. It's never happened before, but okay. So in this video, I want to talk about the relationship between Jesus and Moses and Elijah, particularly to focus on Moses and Elijah and their role in future biblical prophecy. Now, the book of Revelation talks about two people called the two witnesses, which I believe represent Moses and Elijah having been risen from the dead and sent to prophesy on earth during the period that the beast is in power. Now, we see the record of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation as follows. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 to 6, it says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Now, there are several details in that passage that I just read, which make it clear who it's talking about. Now, the first detail I want to look at is that it identifies the two witnesses as the two olive trees and candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth. That's a reference to the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." And then later in the chapter, Zechariah is, he asks about what it is that he sees, and he gets this response. So it says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." So the identity of these two olive trees that Zechariah sees is simply referred to as the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, there's not really any additional information in this chapter, although the wording of the last verse of Zechariah 4 helps us to identify the two witnesses. We know, first of all, that these two are special in some way. They're not just ordinary people if these are anointed to be prophets and they stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Well, interestingly, the Bible does show us an example of two figures who stand by God. At the end of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus promises some of his disciples that they would not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Then the next chapter, this is fulfilled when Jesus is transfigured before them to show them what he would look like when he comes in the clouds. Notice the details in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 8. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So Jesus is changed to appear as he does in his glorified form. It's alike to what we see in the book of Revelation, that his face shines like the sun when Christ appears to John. And he looks similar to what Peter, John, and James see in this chapter, or also like what the Ancient of Days appears like in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. But importantly, with him is Moses and Elias that are talking with Jesus. It's interesting that these two are the ones specifically mentioned as being with Jesus when he is transfigured, when he shows himself as he will be when he comes in his kingdom. Now, it says in the parallel passage in the book of Luke, where it also describes this event, it says in chapter 9, verse 28 to 36, And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now notice in verse 31 that it tells us that Moses and Elias also had appeared in glory when they appeared to Peter, John, and James, and that they stood again with Jesus. So considering that this is the only instance in the Bible of two particular people who are side by side with Jesus Christ, it's reasonable to say that Moses and Elias, or Elijah, Elias is the Greek form of Elijah, are the two witnesses that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, as the scriptures say. But then there's also additional detail in the book of Revelation in chapter 11, which further supports this identification about who these two witnesses are. In Revelation 11, it says in verse 3 that they prophesied on the earth for a total of 1260 days, which is 3.5 years. Then it gives the detail, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, in verse 6. Now we already know that the days of their prophecy is 1260 days or 3.5 years. Now that's interesting because there's only one other person in the scriptures who shut up heaven and caused it not to rain for that period of time. It says in James chapter 5, verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. In the book of Kings, it records that Elijah shuts up the heaven by prayer to cause it not to rain in Israel during the reign of Ahab, but it does not specify how long that time period was. However, James tells us that it was for 3 years and 6 months. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's the same detail that's given in Revelation 11, that the witnesses which stand by the Lord of the whole earth cause it not to rain for the exact same period of time. But that's not the only miracle which it says that the two witnesses do. It also says in verse 6, and it specifies this, it singles this one out, that they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. I think it's interesting, again, that it mentions the two witnesses turning water into blood upon the earth. Now, who did that elsewhere in the Bible? Moses. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 19 to 21, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So interestingly, the two miracles that it mentions that these two witnesses do in Revelation 11 are the same that Moses and Elijah did. And Moses and Elijah are the two people who stand by Jesus Christ when he is transfigured, while the two witnesses are said to stand before the God of the earth. And one more detail we could look at concerning this prophecy is at the end of the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and ye shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I like that chapter. It's a great way to end the Old Testament. But the prophecy of Elijah coming before the day of the Lord, that was partially fulfilled with John the Baptist. It said in the book of Luke in chapter 1, when the angel appears to Zacharias, and he says that he will be in the spirit and power of Elijah. And then Jesus says that he is Elias which should come. Now, John was not literally Elijah, but he was the messenger who prepared the way for the Lord, and he was a partial fulfillment of this prophecy in the book of Malachi. But I believe that there is also a dual fulfillment before the literal day of the Lord, when the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. If you look at all the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the day of the Lord, it clearly fits in with the description in the book of Revelation when God pours his wrath out upon the earth, starting at the time of the seventh seal. So the day when the sun of the moon should be darkened, and then the sign of the Son of Man would appear in heaven, and Jesus Christ would come in the clouds. That would be the time that the day of the Lord comes. And we know that the two witnesses prophesy for the same time as the beast is in power, since it also says in Revelation that the Gentiles would trample Jerusalem for 42 months in the same chapter, Revelation 11. And that's the same period of time that the beast is in power, according to Revelation 13. Therefore, the rapture, which takes place after the midpoint of the 70th week, when the abomination of desolation is set up, is preceded by the beginning of the two witnesses prophesying. And I believe that this will literally be Elijah and Moses resurrected and sent by God to prophesy in the land, that Elijah will literally be sent before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, meaning the day of God's wrath poured upon this earth, based on the details that we are given of these two witnesses. Both of these men were great prophets and great men of God, great preachers of the past, and therefore it's not surprising that they would be two witnesses chosen by God to fulfill this task, the two anointed prophets that stand by God, because it even tells us that these are the two who are alongside Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. So there's not really much else I have to say about this particular subject. One thing I just want to mention, and this is completely unrelated to the video for any of you watching, I have recently hit 500 subscribers on this channel, and tomorrow, just kind of like a little commemoration thing, I'm going to do like a live Q&A thing. If anybody has any questions about literally anything, as long as it's not like a just ridiculous, nonsensical question, you know, something that relates to me or this channel or anything, something that's not just stupid, then you can ask it and I'll answer it tomorrow. I don't know the exact time, just sometime in the afternoon. I'll do this question and answer thing. So that's it for this video about Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and how I believe that Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses prophesied in the book of Revelation. So thank you, everybody, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.